Good afternoon. Two quick announcements. Last night, Republican candidates in Virginia and Ohio won strong victories in elections for the United States House of Representatives. And this morning, President Bush called Rob Whitman and Bob Latta to congratulate them on their victories and tell them that he looked forward to working with them in Washington. Also, Barney Cam, you may have noticed, is now available at whitehouse.gov. The theme of this year's video is Holiday in the National Parks, and it features the President, Mrs. Bush, the twins, and some other very special guests, including Prime Minister Tony Blair, former Prime Minister Tony Blair, and country singer Alan Jackson. The entire production team did a fantastic job, and I'm sure everyone will have a lot of fun with it.
Is that government expense?
No, we do it here at the White House. Yes. Next. Remember, the whole reason we started Barney Cam is because there was a lot of interest in 2001 for people to be able to see the decorations of the White House. And in that year, if you'll recall, after the September 11th attacks, the tours were closed, and so this was an idea that we came up with. And actually now we've decided to keep going because there's so many Americans who would love to see the White House at Christmas time and can't make it.
Is the White House making any attempt to open negotiations with Congress as it comes toward the holidays?
On the budget?
Yeah, on the budget. You're about to veto S-CHIP, other things.
Well, I think that's... They've all known. Let's take a step back. On S-CHIP, this is a bill that has come to the president's desk and once again is in veto form. They've known that the president would veto the bill. They knew that the president would veto the bill the first time they sent it. He's going to veto the second bill that is almost identical to the one he originally vetoed. He will veto that today. This Congress failed to send the president legislation that puts children first, and instead, they sent, for a second time, one that would allow adults onto the program, expand to higher incomes, and raise taxes. And so that's why he's going to veto it again. We would like Congress to send legislation to the president that he could accept, one in which we would expand, as he suggested, for 5 years for an extra $20 billion. He's willing to consider more money if that's needed. But he's also saying to the Senate, go ahead and extend this program now before you leave town, because that way the states can plan. And so we are trying to work with them on that. It's hard to work with a Congress that doesn't want to talk to you, and it's also hard to negotiate when the Democrats have not to come together on one unified position. So, yes, we are in communication with them. The President has directed OMB Director Jim Nussel to be in contact with the Congress on the budget side of things. And in addition to that, we're calling on Congress to fully fund the troops. The troops need the money. Secretary Gates has been very clear that since November 14th, he has said that there might have to be furlough notices that go out if we don't get the money. And so we're working with them on a variety of fronts. On energy, we're hopeful that we could get to a resolution on an energy bill. We've been very clear about the provisions that the president could not accept. We think that Congress might be willing to do that, although it seems that Senator Reid wants to keep the tax title in there, which the president has been very clear that he won't sign. And so they've reached a crunch time, and they're wasting time on sending the president bills or intending to send the president bills that they know he won't be able to sign. And they don't have a lot of time to rework them to send back bills that can keep the government going. Therefore, the president is calling on them to pass a continuing resolution to keep the government running.
So since there's not much time, is the president willing to get involved in the negotiations himself? I mean, bring the Democratic leaders down here and try to...
I think anyone would understand that the president's position is reasonable and that he has tasked his cabinet officer, OMB Director Jim Nussel, to go up and negotiate with the Democrats and the Republicans in order to bring this to closure. But it's very difficult to negotiate when you're dealing with several different positions on the Democratic side. So once they coalesce around one position, it will be easier of us to have to sit down and have the negotiations. But in the meantime, we've had conversations with them. We have an open dialogue.
Can I follow up?
The president has?
Well, the president has many people that work with him that move forward. And remember, last Monday we had the congressional ball. He saw, I don't know how many members of Congress, probably over 400. So he's had a chance to talk with them. But the appropriate place for there to be the discussions on the details is at Director Nussel's levels, working with members of Congress. Go ahead, Keith.
How long of a continuing resolution is he looking for from Congress?
Well, that's going to be up to Congress. What he'd like to see are the individual spending bills come to his desk. We realize that now that the time is running short, they might not be able to get all those bills individually to him before they leave town for the holidays, and so they might have to do an omnibus. And so we'll have to take a look at that. But it's up to them in terms of how they want to do a continuing resolution. We just want to make sure that the government remains funded.
Well, would he sign a continuing resolution that went past the new year, that went through the holidays?
So that's possible.
And You say he's being reasonable. The Democrats say he's being unreasonable. There's some $22 billion over his top line. They've offered to come down $11 billion. They say repeatedly that you're intransigent, that the president won't budge at all on his number.
Well, the president's been clear since last February what his priorities were. Remember, the country wants us to get to a balanced budget. The president has a plan that will get us to a balanced budget by 2012. And that's one. But the only way that we can do that is if we stick to the president's fiscally responsible levels. And he also provided the Congress with numerous ways in order to have savings if they want to have spending increases in other areas. That's part of priorities. That's why you come to Washington. You have to figure out where to make the tough cuts. And Congress has been unwilling to do that. And so the president is asking them to stick to those numbers. Part of the thing that that Congress is dealing with now, in addition, is the issue of earmarks. And the president called for earmarks to be cut in at least half this year. And again, the Democrats are still having to work out amongst themselves how they're going to deal with that issue.
What about Obie's idea to get rid of all the earmarks to get down the president's spending level?
Again, that's just another example of just one of the Democratic positions that we're being asked to respond to. And until they coalesce around one common idea, I think we will decline to negotiate through the press.
So you're saying the president is sort of set in stone on both the numbers and on his unwillingness to engage in negotiation?
No, I said that what I'm saying is we are encouraging the Democrats to get together around one position so that we can actually have a negotiation.
You can't have a negotiation until you're willing to talk.
We are willing to talk. We have an open dialogue. And we have Director Nussel, who is speaking for the president, acting on behalf of the president,
right,
working with them. But who do you talk to? Do you decide to talk to Congressman Obie or Speaker Pelosi or Congressman Hoyer or Senator Reid? Once all of them come together on one position, then we can have a negotiation. I can't imagine that any of you would want to negotiate with four different executives at the network.
He could talk to anybody he wants. I'm available to talk to anyone. But, I mean, I'm sure that the president could pick up the phone and just talk to anybody. They'd take the call.
Right, but once they have to have a united position for us to react to. It's unreasonable for us to try to react to four different positions. I'm going to go to Roger.
Yeah, sort of along the same lines of Congress. You said this morning, don't raise taxes. And in connection on the AMT fix, that's now the latest one, is it okay then to just forego $50 billion and add it to the deficit?
In our budget, the way we have done this for years, ever since the AMT went into effect in the Democratic Congress years ago, that did not peg it to inflation, we've had this problem. And this tax has never gone into effect. No one really believes it ever is going to. And so what the president is saying, let's just get rid of it. And in the meantime, if not, we do include it in the deficit.
In the latest proposal up there on the House side right now, there is a proposal to raise some of the money to pay for the fix by going after some of the tax deferral income by hedge fund managers.
So the president is against raising taxes, but what he would be willing to discuss are cuts in the budget. And he provided, I think it was $96 billion worth of ideas where the Congress could look to actually get savings rather than having to raise taxes. But they don't want to make that choice. The Democrats continually revert to type, and they go back to raising taxes. The president is not going to raise taxes on the American people. It is especially wrong at this time when we're facing a headwind from the housing market. We have a credit crunch that we're trying to deal with. Growth is still good in terms of jobs as well as in exports, but we have issues that we need to deal with in the economy in order to keep it strong and growing, and raising taxes isn't going to do it.
Danny, you say the AMT hasn't really gone into effect, but of course it has, and it claims people every year. It just hasn't claimed as many as it might if they don't do
fair
the
point. Fair point.
How much do you think Congress can get done between today and tomorrow before they head out on Christmas break? You ask them to do the bills before Thanksgiving. They didn't do it. What are the chances they're going to do something before Christmas?
Congress got themselves into this box, and they're going to have to try to get themselves out of it. Cheryl?
I do want to follow up on this issue of the president not negotiating personally. It would seem that presidents throughout the ages have taken a leadership role by meeting with leaders of the opposition party and sort of sitting down together and hammering out a deal and then expecting those leaders to go back to their people and say, look, this is what I negotiated with the president. And that is sort of part of presidential leadership. So I'm wondering why, at this crunch time, as you described it, the president isn't willing to do that.
I, Cheryl, who would he meet with? Should he have four different meetings, or should he?
Well,
is it incumbent?
I would say that would be up to him, but
no,
logical
Cheryl,
choices
answer
would
question.
Be Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid.
Let me answer your question. But we get four different. You get a different, different Democrat, different answer almost every hour. There's different plans all throughout the days about how they're going
to
finish this out. They need to finish it.
To
I don't think that it's incumbent upon the president to resolve the Democrats' inconsistencies. I think that they need to work out their differences. I don't think they would want the president to meddle in their affairs and try to work out their differences for them. That's not the president's responsibility.
Do Republicans have any inconsistencies?
Exactly.
I think that we have been very united. The president met with members yesterday.
Do you agree with Congressman Bates' suggestion of $8 billion in extra spending?
I think that we would consider emergency spending if we needed to. At the end of the day, but I don't know. I didn't speak to Congressman Boehner, and I saw that his spokesperson said something different in terms of clarifying his point, but I don't have that with me. But what I will say is that the president met with the four bicameral GOP leaders yesterday. We have had a united front on this, and the Democrats know what they're dealing with when they're dealing with the Republicans, but we don't know what we're dealing with when you have four different negotiating, at least four different negotiating positions on the behalf of the Democrats.
Are you saying Republicans are monolithically together on every point up there?
No, but on the bottom line, on the budget, we have had a united front in terms of having a negotiating position. We absolutely have.
And then just to follow up, you said before that he saw them at the congressional ball. Is mm-hmm. that, in your view, equal to bring the leaders into
I think
a
the question was whether he had talked to any of them at all. And I, sure, there's a lot of business that gets done at those parties.
Well, was this business done at that party?
Well, clearly not. Cheryl, I really think you guys need to think about, if you step back, who should the president meet with? And I don't think it's incumbent upon the president to call down the Democratic leadership, have them sit around the table in the cabinet room, and try to hash out their differences for them. He's not the Democratic mediator. He is the leader of the Republican Party. He's the president of the United States, and he has designated his cabinet officer, Jim Nussle, the director of the Office of Management and Budget, in order to work out the details for them before they get to the final point. And that's how a negotiation should work.
Yeah, new subjects, two questions. First of all, up on the Hill where General Hayden was testifying today before the House Intelligence Committee, the bipartisan leaders came out afterwards and they were very concerned about not having been informed about the videotaping and the interrogations about the destruction of the tapes. Chairman Sylvester Reyes, our committee was not informed, not been kept informed, very frustrated about the issue. I know you can't comment on the case specifically, but is the White House in general hopeful that the CIA will be more forthcoming in the future, more aggressive in meeting its obligations to inform Congress of matters?
This is like the fourth day in a row I've gone through this, but I'm not going to comment on that. Part of the gathering of the facts is gathering who knew what when and who then told who what, and I think that I have to allow that process to work itself out. But the president believes that General Hayden is committed to making sure that it is a thorough review and that people get the answers that they're requesting.
But in the way of the CIA meeting its obligation to inform Congress of matters like this, as the White House made it clear, it does not want to see this sort of thing.
I don't think it would be appropriate for me to say that they weren't, because I don't know the answer to whether or not who was informed when. And I'm not saying that the senators or the congressmen are wrong in their recollections. I'm just saying that there is a process in place to gather those facts, and I have to let that play out.
Does the White House believe it's important that the CIA keep Congress informed of matters like this?
Yes, all agencies must.
And the other issue, very briefly, there's going to be a press conference on the Hill in about 10 minutes. Congressman Dan Orbacher and others upset that the president, when he issued his pardons, did not pardon the two Border Patrol agents, Ramos and Capan. Do you have anything to say to them about why that didn't happen?
Well, there's processes in place for pardons, and those two individuals, if they want to seek a pardon, they can go through the process as well. The president did not pardon them yesterday, as you said. I think he was 120 individuals, but they were not included this time. And we've had extensive comment on this, and there's appeals that are underway.
Dana, the administration has in the past pointed the finger at Syria for being behind high-profile assassinations in Lebanon. Is there any suspicion that Syria was behind the latest car bombing that killed a general who was leading contender to head the army?
I think it's best if I don't speculate on who is responsible. They're still looking into it. Of course, in the past, there have been incidents where we would blame Syria, but I'm not prepared to do that until that review is complete.
The statement from the White House earlier did speak of forces that are trying to undermine
about Lebanese stability and democracy.
Certainly, when there is an assassination of one of the leaders of a country, then yes, I think that follows the pattern of wanting to undermine the country. But there's not been a claim of responsibility, and that review isn't final yet. So I'm not going to point fingers at anybody today. Ann?
One of President Bush's Republican predecessors, Ronald Reagan, when he wanted to get budget issues through, reached out and created his own alliances with colorful groups like the Gypsy Moths and the Blue Dog Democrats, and created the kind of majorities that he needed to get his policies through. Is that not a leadership model that this president finds a valuable lesson?
The president does reach out to the Blue Dogs and others, certainly. We have lots of meetings, some of them that we don't read out to the press.
And is that underway right now?
Well, certainly at a staff level it is, but as I said, the president has asked Jim Nussle to work out those details for him, and then once we have those details and in a unified position by the Democrats, negotiations can begin.
Governor Bush ran for president saying that he was a uniter, not a divider, and that he worked well with the Democrats who were in the majority in the Texas legislature. Why has that not worked in Washington?
Well, I don't know. I wasn't there in Texas, but I would hazard a guess. No, I understand that, but I would. One of the things you might have had in Texas is more of a united front on the Democratic side. I don't think it's reasonable to think that the president should go and have to have at least four different meetings and not sure what he's dealing with. And plus, to have a negotiation, to go and talk to one person and then have that undermined by the next person you talk to and not have them talking to one another is not a good way to do business. Anybody else on this budget topic?
You said you would consider, President would consider some of the money that Boehner is talking about running as an emergency. Isn't some of that money really just a backdoor way of adding spending without having it technically breach the president's budget cap?
I said that I wouldn't speculate in terms of what we were going to get to at the end, but that there may be emergency spending at the end of the day, and so we're going to have to wait and see. We're not able to even get to that point until there's more of a unified position by the Democrats and that we know what we're dealing with.
But this Republican, the Boehner proposal, you would look at some of that money, correct?
I don't even know if there is a Boehner proposal.
Well, the money that he's talked about running as emergency spending.
I don't have enough. I would refer you to his office in terms of if there was a clarification of yesterday. I saw a news report, but I didn't see anything else.
He wasn't reflecting White House views when he said that, right?
No. Sure.
So on SCHIP, two questions. First, with this veto, does it mean that the prospects for reauthorizing SCHIP and our new bill are dead?
That's the question you should ask the Capitol Hill. They've known what the president's position is. They decided to send the president two bills that they knew he would veto and that we have the votes to sustain. So instead of coming to the table to negotiate with us, they've instead been intransigent and sent us two bills that they knew he wouldn't sign.
And then following up on that, you said that he wanted to negotiate with Democrats when they had reached a unified position. So obviously on SCHIP they have reached a unified position because they have presented him with a bill which represents that position. So is he willing at this point to sit down and negotiate with them?
We have been willing for several weeks, if not months, to negotiate on SCHIP, and it is the Democrats who would not have us at the table.
Has he invited the leaders in to talk about SCHIP?
Even on a staff level, we weren't invited to negotiate.
Can I follow up on the SCHIP? Is there some real risk that program is going to last now?
Well, I would hope not. I would hope that Congress would go ahead and extend the program as they did before. Left.
Thank you, Dana. Two questions. In the White House's consideration of reported global warming, is there any wondering why Nobel Prize winner Al Gore has refused to accept repeated challenges to debate climate researcher Lord Christopher Monckton and other skeptics of global warming?
I have no idea. You'll have to ask about it.
Okay. Will the president try to help settle the Writers Guild strike, in which Reuters reported yesterday that NBC has quietly begun reimbursing advertisers an average of $500,000 each for failing to reach guaranteed ratings levels, quote, the first time a network has taken such a step in years?
The president is the commander-in-chief, not the mediator-in-chief, although many of them in this room seem to think that he should be today.
Well, he certainly has reached out. Has he done anything insofar as trying to help settle this writer's...
It's not appropriate for the president to get involved in that. Helen?
It's not appropriate.
Since in view of the recent fatal shootings in the West, does the president regret that he did not support a continue a renewal of the ban on assault weapons?
Well, obviously there's tragic situations happening, and you see multiple, sometimes these things seem to, these stories seem to come up around the holidays where you have incidents of, individuals taking to violence in order to, you know, settle scores or act out their frustrations and rejections. That's very tragic. Again, the president believes that the American people under the Constitution have a right to bear arms, and that they should do so in only in legally and lawful ways. Goyal?
Two quick questions, Jenna. Two issues are in the news every day. One is immigration. Whereas you think between now and next year, because this is an election issue, and immigrants or illegals or legals, they are both angry at the both parties. So where do you think President stands on this issue? If he's going to through, what bill he has, comprehensive immigration bill?
The President has said that he doesn't think that the Congress has the will to move forward on comprehensive immigration reform this coming year. And while that's unfortunate, we've tried to move forward on the through administrative rulemakings and guidance in order to help solve border issues and temporary worker programs such as the H-2A1, which is the agriculture workers.
And second, you think President has faith and trust in President Musharraf now because emergency is still there and judiciary and others are still in jail?
But Goyal, he said that the state of emergency would be lifted on December 16th, and today is only the 12th. So let's wait and see.
And he has faith and trust in Mr. Musharraf?
He believes that emergency order should be lifted, and he expects him to hold it to his word and doing it on December 16th. Victoria?
Susan Libby did not receive a pardon. Is this a sign that he's not going to receive a pardon?
As I said the other day, I do not comment or speculate on who will or who will not get pardons from this president.
Can you assure us that once the Wilson civil suit is resolved, the president will speak out about the Libby affair?
I would assume that once that is settled, yes, I would hope that we would be able to comment further.
Thank you.